Blog Talk
Hello,
Radio.
Everybody. Hello, everybody. My name is Nicole Brandon, and I welcome you, as always, to Hourglass Brides. We are part of the Dream Body, Dream Day Brides, and we so look forward to you joining us every week. We have a really incredibly special show where we have everything for brides from the start to the finish. We have how to pick your bands, how to pick your flower arrangements. We have relationship advice. If your parents got divorced when you were 5 years old and this is the very first time that they're getting together, if you have three sisters and one is going to be the maid of honor, how do you deal with that? We have John Gray from Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus will be joining us and teaching relationship advice. We have very special guests teaching you how to combine your money, how to buy your very first home, how to feng shui your house, if you've had lost a spouse, how to start over again, step-parenting. So whatever it is that you are looking for, this is an all-encompassing show for new brides and also for people who have been married several times before. So we welcome you to find this forum, and we are so excited to share with you our guest today. Today, I really believe, is one of the most important elements that any wedding can have, and not only any wedding, but that any relationship can have, and that's actually harmony in a relationship. And finding harmony with your partner is really the most important thing. And very much like a song, each of those notes, as they're played to our emotions and as our lives, that's really what makes a relationship work. And so today our special guests are not only gifted as a musical talent, but they're also a couple, so I would love them to share what that's like to have harmony in a relationship as well as on the stage and being able to share it with all of you. Our guests today are really extraordinary. We are welcoming Christopher Carruthers and Danielle Barbosa. Christopher Carruthers is a multi-talented vocal wonder. His talents have been shared on the stage and the screen alike. Hailed for his performances and shows across the nation, Christopher has garnered quite a following of fans. Reviewers have raved over his vocal talents and his versatile acting abilities. His shows include Jesus Christ Superstar, Scarlet Pimpernel, Grease, and of course he was the heart winner, Marius, in the popular Les Mis. From stage to screen, from television to nightclub extravaganzas, Christopher has wowed audiences time and time again. Christopher, I believe, is a singer's singer. He sings everything from rock and roll to golden oldies and crooning, and his voice can really melt your heart and raise your spirits and make you want to celebrate life itself. Christopher and Danielle love to partner their vocal talents and to sing at live events, and they're going to share with you some of the secrets for booking your talent on that special day and how to have a wedding performance that will both enhance your event and make your happily ever after really a life filled with harmony and love. So we're really excited to talk to him. And then Danielle Barbosa is one of the most dynamic singers out there today. Her voice really makes you want to jump out of your seat and celebrate life. Her ballads bring tears to your eyes, and every emotion that has ever lived inside you can be touched by her talent, by her versatility, and by her interpretation of the song. She is a virtual living songbook. She can sing any song from any genre as if it were the only song in the world. Her passion, her compassion, her heart, and her musical magic just make you beg for more. There is never a time when you want her to stop singing. She has a voice that you could just listen to for days. She's multi-talented and she's multilingual. She shares her talent in such an extraordinary way that even a song in another language is a song that you feel that you know and you have loved forever. She's a skilled and talented actress, and her talent spans across the stage and screen. She could be seen in this year's Academy Award-winning movie, Argo. Favorite hits among her fans include she was in the blockbuster stage show of Caesar and Reuben, directed by Ed Begley Jr., based on the life story of Cesar Chavez, where she played Dolores Huerta, who was the founder of the Farm Workers Union. And she is an absolutely virtuoso with music. Her effervescent personality, humor, her heart just make her a showstopper at any event, and her ability to bring an audience to life is simply astounding. She has also appeared in many movies and in television shows. She was in one of my very favorite soap operas, the Bold and Beautiful. She's been on the television show The Shield and the film American Son and Borderless and Dexter and on. She's an extraordinary talent, and I feel very honored that we have them here today. I'm really excited to share them with you. So welcome, Danielle and Christopher.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
Hi.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. So it's so great having you with us today. And as I was saying, a wedding is such a special time. And I really think that having harmony in a relationship as well as harmony in music is so important. And I love the fact that you're a couple and that you get to share your musical talents together. And so, you know, share a little bit with our audience and people that don't know you yet. How did you meet? How did you first get together as a couple and as a performing couple? And
we met through singing, actually. I was touring around the country with a production of Les Miserables, and we came back to Los Angeles, and I had not been in Los Angeles for almost 2 years because I've been on the road. And I went back to my favorite nightclub in Westwood, which is unfortunately not there anymore, and Danielle was the singer.
And he walked
really?
In with his road tour jacket and those beautiful pipes. Caught my eye.
And so what did you think, Chris, because, you know, I've had the honor and pleasure of hearing Danielle sing, but what did you think the first time you heard her sing?
Oh, I was incredibly impressed. You know, she sort of found me at the bar and ushered me into the showroom and sat me down at a table right up front and then proceeded to sing this great sort of slow, sexy arrangement of Do You Want to Dance, basically right to me. It made quite an impression. You know, she's an incredible performer, and I had never met her before, so I was completely blown away and obviously wanted to get to know her better.
Of course, I can remember.
Now, I know that, you know, you sing together, and so, you know, it's a combination of talents and skills, but I have never seen anybody sing to a room like Danielle, like you're talking about, that she actually, you felt like she was singing just to you this incredibly, you know, sexy, powerful number, whatever. And I know at live events that she just wows the audience. She gets everybody part of the performance. How do you do that, Danielle? How do you make a room come alive?
Ha, ha, ha. Hopefully they're alive to start. But, you know, music just does that. Music transports you so immediately to the place you need to be if you let it. The excitement of the tune, it'll take you there. The people are basically wanting to go with you. If they want to go with you, they will go with you. That's what's so lovely about when you pick the right songs, too, because they'll transport you right back to that spot, that moment that you fell in love or that moment that you remember rejoicing the first time you saw his face. Music does that. It transports you immediately, if you let it.
Well, I love that. And where did your talent come? I mean, were you both singing as children? Were you trained as singers? Because your voices are so far superior beyond any singers that I've heard, and they're truly. And so where does, I mean, is that learned? Is that natural? Is that...
Christopher's training goes back. You were young and you were trained on piano, correct?
Yeah, I started taking piano lessons as a kid when I was 10 years old, and I studied classical piano for almost 8 years, and you know, was fortunate enough to have music lessons even in school, starting at a very young age. So I learned how to read music when I was 8 years old, and music's always kind of been a part of my life. It wasn't until I got into college that I kind of got serious about studying performing. I graduated from UCLA with a degree in musical theater, and then after that I studied privately with some of the best teachers around the country, Seth Riggs and Ron Anderson back east in Boston. And so I spent quite a few years kind of investing in developing my talent.
I always sang.
And you won.
As a child, I always sang. And I was discovered, let's call it that, in college because I was singing for my pleasure, and a college coach heard me and basically set me on my path because he was as exuberant and enthusiastic about my talent as you are, Nicole. And it was enough to convince me that, oh, yeah, I guess I should share this.
This is Clayton Garrison, who's a fairly nationally renowned teacher who was teaching down at the time at the UC Irvine, where Daniela was a student.
Oh, that's just amazing. And then, Chris, didn't you win the Carol Burnett Award, too?
I did. While I was at UCLA, they had a singing competition that Carol Burnett sponsored, and I won it, and then used that money actually to go back to New York on my spring break to audition for shows in New York, which ended up getting me my first professional acting job in Dallas, Texas. So Miss Burnett is proud of what I did with her prize money. It certainly kind of started my career.
Well, she's maintained a friendship with you, so I suppose that, yes,
yeah,
she approves.
That's just spectacular. And then, I mean, you've done such big shows. You know, Chris, we look at your resume, you know, Les Mis and Grease and Scarlet Pimpernel and all these incredible shows. And then, but I know how much, you know, and Danielle, my gosh, you know, from stage to screen, and she's an Academy Award-winning movie. But I know you love performing at live events, and I know your joy at singing at weddings. And what is it about weddings, and what was your first experience singing at a wedding, and why weddings?
Well, I think weddings are such a wonderful event because there's just so much excitement and joy kind of built in that you don't have to. There's a sort of an energy level that you can just jump onto and ride almost like a wave. And so it's a wonderful place to be. Everyone enjoys going to weddings, and you know, we get to go to a lot of weddings because we sing at them. And, of course, you know, it's wonderful to get together with the bride and groom and talk about what their particular needs are and kind of bring their wedding dreams come true. The first wedding that I ever sang at was a very small wedding at the Las Vegas Little Wedding Chapel, which is gone now. Where Mandalay Bay is now, there used to be this lovely little white wedding chapel. And
my sister got married there. It was adorable. Typical Vegas, cute as can be.
Yeah, very small little group of this girl was getting married to a Marine who was about to go off on active duty, and I sang, dating myself here, I sang a duet of the song With You I'm Born Again. That was back in the mid-'80s.
I sang...
And how about you, Daniel? Do you remember?
Yeah, I sang my first song. It was in the 80s, too, so I was very, very young. I must have been 12.
That's right.
but it was a beautiful Laguna Chapel, and it was very traditional. It was a gorgeous church, and they had me, instead of singing at the pulpit, they had me singing from a choir loft. And it took a little of the nervousness off that I knew I wasn't being seen, and at the end the response was so beautiful. They all said it was like an angel descending. They didn't know where the voice was coming from, but it went over big, and I was just as moved, you know, to think about it now. Because you were at the beginning of a new life. They say that the two become as one. I couldn't agree more. It's a touching and wonderful place to be at.
It just sounds so special to have you out there and to have this voice, and I imagine your voice just radiating. Just
well,
much of
the
magic
song was also
people.
the most requested wedding song of my lifetime, which is the wedding song, which comes straight out of the lyrics of the Bible. You now to be amongst you at the calling of your hearts. When two or more are gathered, there is love. I'm sure you remember those lyrics. I think it's literally the most requested wedding song ever.
That just sounds so beautiful. Now, do you have, you know, of all the weddings that you've performed at and all the weddings that you've been a part of singing at, do you have favorite wedding locations that you've performed at? Because I know that part of what we talk about on the show, of course, is destination weddings. And like you're talking about this little tiny, you know, minute chapel that was just precious, you know, and just a charm and a gem. And do you have like memorable locations of where you were or a wedding that you thought was truly special that stood out for you?
Let's see. You know, one of my favorite weddings was actually in Houston, Texas, which I've fond of anyway because my family's from Houston originally, but it was John Asher, the director's first wedding, and it was a beautiful, sort of lavish, lots of flowers ceremony, and I sang, it was a duet, but I sang it as a solo from, it was a pretty ballad from one of those, you know, hair bands, like Poison or White Snake or something, which is not what you first think of for a wedding. but John Asher is an interesting guy, and he wanted that song, and it actually worked very nicely. So I remember that.
Great. Do you know my parents' first song that they ever danced to was What Kind of Fool Am I? That was their first dance. And at their wedding, they asked that they play What Kind of Fool Am I for their first, you know, dance on their wedding. The band said, we can't play What Kind of Fool Am I at a wedding. My parents said, no, we really want you to. That was the song we met and fell in love to.
There you go. As fingerprint or snowflake individuals, yes, we're also individual, and it's so important that no one make the rules. The couple, they love, and they love the way they love. And I think that's the most brilliant outline right there. Don't let anyone tell you what your special song or what is special to you.
When I was dating Danielle, I used to sing Music of the Night in her ear.
Which, for those of you who don't know, is from Phantom of the Opera, you know, but I think that, wow, what an enticing song. And how about you, Danielle? Do you have a favorite location of places that, I mean, for people that are looking for weddings?
This is going to sound a little, I suppose, on the nose, but Maui was a destination location for the guests, but the bride and groom are actually from Hawaii. They was a golf pro from the islands, but it was unbelievably beautiful, just as Hawaii is known to do. But we're on the cliffs. We're looking over the ocean. It's a Hawaiian-conducted service. And I remember what I really enjoyed the most about that wedding event was that they incorporated myself as a vocalist into all three events of the evening. I sang at the rehearsal dinner, I sang in the ceremony, and I sang at the reception. And at the rehearsal dinner, I incorporated the brides into the number. We ended up doing a big production of going to the chapel. And
the bridesmaids, right?
I'm not going to say it eclipsed the ceremony because it didn't, but it was such a happy, memorable, wonderful thing because the entire party singing at the top of their little baby lungs at a very fancy restaurant in Maui. And it just shows you the variety of different things that you can really open up the box as far as how you incorporate music into your whole bridal season. Let's make the most of every moment, I say.
Well, I love that they incorporated in, you know, your voice and your talent into the rehearsal dinner, into the wedding, that you actually were part of the tapestry.
Yes.
Of the whole wedding experience. It's really fantastic.
Yes, it was. Honestly, I guess that would, other than my own wedding.
which was also we had a destination wedding.
Ontario. We're only married in Canada.
We got married in Toronto at the end of November in a lovely room in front of a crackling fireplace with the little light snowfall behind us through the windows. It was very romantic and lovely, so. We, too, had a destination wedding.
That's great. And then, you know, what would you say a key to a successful wedding is? And, you know, you talk about from Maui, you talk about from the snowflakes behind you and the crackling wedding. What would make a successful wedding to you, especially musically?
Well, I think the most important thing, and I think this is a key to a successful marriage in addition to everything with a wedding, is you have to know what you want and plan. And we've done all different kinds of songs and, you know, simple things with just a piano and you know, sacred songs and old standards and more contemporary stuff. It's whatever the bride and groom want. And the most important thing is having them know or just sitting down with them and discussing it to figure out, you know, do you have a song that you associate with your relationship or a song that you think sums up your relationship, the song that was playing, like, with your parents when you first met? What type of music speaks most to the bride and groom, because then that emotion will sort of carry out through and touch everyone else at the service. So that's the only important thing. There's no one style of music or you know, romantic versus not romantic or fun or serious song that's any better than another. It's what matters most to the people involved in that particular wedding. And really you just have to sit down with them and figure that out.
I think that's the key, is sitting around, you know, putting aside your preconceived notions. There is no right and there is no wrong. It's what suits you best. And you are blending families together, which is really an important thing. You're blending two people, but usually the family is part of that too. You don't want to end up being the worst episode of Bridezilla. you want to keep the stress minimum, the anticipation, you know, with an air of confidence. You have, you know, these are people who obviously it can be a hurdle to blend families together. So the persons involved that can easily and confidently help you forward so that you're anticipating all the best and not worrying yourself about what, you know, can't be anticipated. I did an event where the persons had a lot of high hopes and a lot of high expectations and very little game planning in advance. So I suppose with your show, it would be the best thing would be to tune in week after week, right? Because it's all the advanced preparation that'll give people that ease and that confidence.
Absolutely. It really is. And then as far as selecting the right music, like, do you help people select their first dance or the song that's their song, or, you know, if they're going to do something like the tarantella or Havanagilla, or if they, you know, if they come from a certain background or nationality and there's songs that are important to that country or culture, do you help them incorporate that? And how does that work? Do they make the song list? Do you?
Well, no, they make the song list, and we try to ask those questions. If they don't have a very definitely formed idea in advance, and some people do. Some people come to us and say, you know, this is what we want you to sing, and some people go as far as this is the arrangement. We're going to get, you know, a piano, and here's a cello, and just show up, and this is here's your music. Go for it. I mean, literally, I've been handed sheet music. Here's your sheet music. More often than not, that's not the case. People may say, this is a song we want, and then we'll figure out the best arrangement, or we'll just sit down and talk to them, and as I said, ask them about their backgrounds and about their relationship, and make sure that we help them figure out in advance what those important music choices are, so that afterwards they don't have any regrets saying, oh gosh, you know, if only they'd played that, if only they'd sung that song. That's what you don't want. That's what you want to try to avoid, is anyone thinking, oh gosh, I wish they just sung, you know, X or Y. So, you know, it's when we go to meet with people, you know, those are some of the questions we ask about, you know, their background and you know, what songs are important to your parents, what songs are, you know, important if any in your community. You know, the songs you sing at a Jewish wedding might not be the same as you know, John Asher, the director's wedding, or even, you know, was that wedding that you did, Danielle, at the Friars Club?
That was a very, very unusual wedding. At the Friars Club, and it involved a lot of stand-up comedians and some comedic actors. And I think what Glee does is very interesting, too, and Karen Morrow, of course, does this, too. Well, if you have some diverse things that don't seem to go together, music can bridge them together. Glee calls it smash mashups when they take two genres or two different songs that you wouldn't think go together, and when they're put together, if they're done artistically, can end up being, you know, greater than the sum of their parts, as they say, the sum parts. Is that how it's said?
That's how it's said.
That's it. Correct. Yes. No, I think it's so much fun when you see that, when you have these crazy kind of weddings. You know, I know that some weddings are very traditional and, you know, sober, and then, you know, other weddings are absolutely outrageously crazy, you know, or, you know, if you have, you know, crazy relatives.
Well,
that make your weddings even crazier. Have you had that experience?
I have to say I had not watched it, but last weekend, I watched the Gypsy, My Gypsy Wedding, which was a cable show.
It's a reality show.
A reality show called My Gypsy Wedding, and I could not believe my eyes because it's become an entire series. Back in 1980-something, I performed at a gypsy wedding, and I wish I had any clue what I was in for because I had no clue. I arrived at this hugely beautiful, expensive hotel. They had the grand ballroom. Then the party started to arrive. Women in the most expensive, beautiful gowns and tons and tons and tons of children. And everybody immediately took off their shoes and piled them in a corner. The ballroom was decorated, a huge, long banquet table with three of the most enormous wedding cakes I'd ever seen. So huge that they had larger-than-life dolls on top. They looked like it's a small world. They were that big, those dolls. And there were three of them dressed as brides. No groom, just the bride on top of three different wedding cakes. Huge amount of dancing and huge amount of drinking and money flowing everywhere. They were taking big loaves of bread, taking handfuls of the bread out, and then stuffing that hole with money. Now, this was happening on all the tables. I was having a grand and glorious time. They asked me to sing. I sang. Afterwards, they were thanking me, and I thanked them because I had the most wonderful time that I thought. I told Michael, this is the most unusual wedding reception I've ever been to. I've had such a great time. I can't even imagine what your wedding ceremony was like, but I wish I could have seen it. They answered me, and they said, it was the wedding.
You saw it.
I must say there is a grand variety, and they had the experience that they wanted. I did what was apparently what they wanted, but literally you have to have your mind wide open to what a family interprets as their ideal wedding.
That's incredible. Now, I know that, you know, obviously we've been talking about you singing at weddings, and, you know, for our guests that, you know, will be married and have a lifetime together, you also sing at anniversaries, and you've actually sung in some pretty prestigious anniversary events as well as for some other celebrities. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, Christopher, you want to tell them about John Asher's wedding?
Well, I mentioned that, yeah, down in Houston.
And you sang for Howie Mandel, didn't you, I believe?
Yes, Howie Mandel's anniversary. It was such a sweet event. Howie Mandel and his wife, I'm not sure which year they were celebrating it, but it was actually at the club where Christopher and I had met, Budokan. And I don't know if he puts this out as a general knowledge, but he really enjoys singing karaoke. So he wanted to have a karaoke event for his anniversary party, and I hosted that one. It was also the location where I hosted Kenny Loggins. It was his birthday / the end of his tour, Keeping the Faith tour, which was a lot of fun, and Ricky Lake's birthday party, Jan Michael Vincent's party, and Christian Slater's party, and Howard Hewitt and Ann Peebles, Ellen DeGeneres' rap party for when she did Marry the Wrong Man. A film I think was so interesting. She had a comedy about Mr. Wrong, about marrying Mr. Wrong, and this was a year before she came out of the closet. And I don't know if you remember
That's
that film.
Brilliant.
But the rap party took place on the beach in Malibu. And it was hysterically funny. Well, because everything about her is hysterically funny. But her entire cast ended up singing on the beach with me. It was really a fun day.
Wow. So I just wanted to be clear that people can hire you for their live events or for anniversaries or birthdays or for, you know, something that they're doing for, you know, a corporate, not just for weddings, that you really love doing the live events and that people can reach out to you for that.
It is. It's so beautiful to be incorporated into the whole. And there are clients that we've had that I have sung at their wedding, and then I got the honor of singing at the first baby shower. when my bride was great with child. And to be there at all those events. And one of the things about all these special events is they're very moving, special moments that if you can have somebody else voice that for you, it's my honor to do so. Chris and I actually had only at one event ever not been able to sing because the event was one of our parents passed, and it was our moment where we really should have reached out for someone to sing for us, because as emotional as we were, our voice, you know, our spirit couldn't contain. We were so at the max, wouldn't you say, honey?
Yeah, that was...
That we were so filled, our parents' love, you know, we were so filled that literally tears and the body cannot, I believe that's absolutely true, that the body can only contain so much spirit before it just leaks out your eyes and it's full. And we were so full that I can completely appreciate how there are life events that are marked by music where if we can reach out and be that voice, it's the best place to be.
Well, you know, I'm already pre-booking you for when I get married, you know. And what did I learn today? What, that six other Nicole Brandons or something? We're getting married.
Oh, no. It wasn't Nicole Brandon. It was some woman whose first name was Nicole and some guy whose first name was Brandon.
I thought it was so adorable. Send them a little note from Hourglass Brides and Dream Body Dream Day, and congratulate them on their wedding. And then, so when people are hiring a singer, you know, because I know when you have the floral arrangements, you have your invitations, you know, you have to get your wedding dress and your bridesmaid's dress and your band and, you know, whatever that is. So you're hiring your band, you're hiring your music. What are the things people think of? First, how do they find you? Second, do you bring your own equipment? Do they have to have speakers or microphones? And how does all that work for someone that's wanting to do this, to get married, and they're now at the stage that they're ready to book their music?
Do you want to talk about technical support, or do you want to talk about how they connect to us? Chris, you want to take that one and then I'll take technical support?
Well, yeah, you can... You can find us online. You can go to my website, ChristopherCarruthers.com. That's CarotherS, ChristopherCarruthers.com, is an easy way to get a hold of us online.
And is there a phone number and email directly that people can reach out as
well?
Yeah, you
can email me. The email address will be mail at ChristopherCarruthers.com. That's the best way to reach me.
BarbosaCarruthers@netzero.net is also a way.
Can you say that once more, Danielle?
Barbosa, C-A-R-B-O-S-A, mm-hmm. Carruthers, C-A-R-O-T-H-E-R-S, @netzero.net.
Perfect. And now, let's say somebody is in a different state. Let's say they're in Broken Bowl, Oklahoma or something. One, do you travel to do weddings? Would you travel?
We most certainly have.
Sure.
We've gone to Aspen, and we've gone to, obviously, New York, and we've gone to Florida.
Maui and everywhere.
Anyone else in Maui wants us to sing, please feel free to call right away.
Since we have listeners, you know, across the nation, I really want to make sure that people know that you are available to do their shows. And I have to tell you, like I said, you know, that you will sing at my wedding, but I highly recommend you. And then technically, how does it work technically?
People can be as simple or as elaborate as they want. Usually, if we're singing as part of the wedding ceremony, they like to keep things simple, just a piano, or we can certainly bring a portable keyboard if it's in a small venue like a church, for example. But you know, people have outdoor weddings, they have bigger events, and we've got all the sound equipment that we need to fill a room of up to 200 people, or you know, even as Danielle said, she's done events, you know, on the beach before and brought the equipment. So that's not a problem. We can cover any technical challenges that might exist. We did an interesting event last year. The guy was actually a proposal where he wanted to propose to his wife singing a beautiful Bruno Mars tune, but he wanted to do it as a flash mob, which is a very creative idea, and he had gone ahead and gotten a marching band and cheerleaders lined up to surprise his soon-to-be bride at a sort of outdoor patio at a restaurant. But we helped him, you know, coordinate the technical aspect of it with a keyboard and speakers sort of hidden around the room and behind a trellis so she couldn't see them, and I was dressed as a waiter, and we had a cordless mic, so I whipped a mic out of my pocket and started singing. We had background singers, and it all the sound kind of had to be balanced out and hidden, but we have the equipment to do that, even secret sound.
So it helps if you have 20 years experience in the business, you're presented with a person's ideal, their idea. We can take the butt of your idea and actually execute it. This guy was an adorable soon-to-be husband with a great idea, no clue how to execute it. But yes, you give us your best idea and we'll make sure it happens.
That's incredible. Now, are you, instrumental as well as far as adding video? Because I know a lot of people do that too. They'll put, the story of the how they met or add music or
song
to that.
Connection.
Are you part of that as well?
We're connected with Squish Kitty Productions, and they are filmmakers. They do documentaries. And that is our technical support as far as videographers are concerned.
Yeah, so we can bring projectors and put up things on big screens that we can perform to. And you've done that when you sort of a live singing accompaniment to a like a slide montage of stuff. We've done that before. Or if someone wanted to coordinate making their own video with us on the soundtrack, we could help them with that too. Perform by remote.
Well, living in LA, you cannot imagine the mecca of the most creative people in the world. They're all centered right here, and luckily they're all neighbors.
Just how special and how exciting it is to have you. Now, I have to ask you, Danielle, you were just in a movie, Argo. What was it like to be part of a movie that
are you ready for
an
this?
Academy Award?
Are you ready for this? Ben Affleck is a compulsive singer, too. He was directing the scene. He had to reconstruct the entire little foyer for that scene because it was pickups. The film was already in the can, and he needed a button to end that scene that introduces Alan Arkin to the film. As a matter of fact, that scene was the scene they showed the clip of at the Oscars, which just cracked me up and made me feel so hit right back in that moment. But I found it so amusing. Ben Affleck being the most polite gentleman, and he was juggling the directing and the acting. And at the same time, his meticulous detail, he was looking at the camera feedback for us, and he was noticing the hairstylist and giving hairstyle notes. I'm like, how many more things can this boy juggle? Well, when it comes time to finally film, he started in humming every single 70s song he could think of. He was doing this theme from the Banana Splits, from the Monkees, and when he was caught on the wrong lyric, who helped him fill in the blank.
You did.
I thought that must be
so exciting to do a movie that's up for an Academy Award and wins an Academy Award. It's like, wow.
Well, it has been an oodles of fun. As a matter of fact, the SAG Award came through my agent yesterday, the day before, something like that?
Day before yesterday.
Day before yesterday.
SAG Award.
So the awards keep trickling in. I couldn't be happier. It was such a fun chance, and yet again, the door that opened was because of my voice. Originally, they had the day of the shoot, the original shoot, which was at the mansion that it was a location shot at, was a male's voice, and it didn't break off the scene because it was just another voice on top of all four of the voices. All four actors were in there. John Goodman and everyone was in that scene, and just another voice, another male voice, didn't cut it. So that door opened. It's been funny how a person who doesn't think about it till they think about it, my voice has opened almost every door in my life. My voice attracted my husband, and my voice switched my careers in college because somebody heard me singing in a hallway. It's just odd the way that that has happened. And now I'm a disembodied voice on the internet. Woohoo! I believe this is my first netcast podcast.
Webcast.
And then I wanted to ask you, too, as you're talking about, you know, Ben Affleck, and you're talking about, you know, music and voices, you know, I saw you in a show that I thought was probably one of the most powerful shows that I've ever had the experience of watching, and that was Caesar and Reuben, right? And, you know, I'd love you to talk about that and the role that you played in that. And also, I did not know that Caesar Chavez loved music.
He was
a music fan. And so can you, while we have a couple minutes, can you share with our audience, because I was blown away by that, by the show itself. And one of the things I do want to touch on quickly is that both, you know, you and Christopher, you both are multilingual and you do sing, you know, in Spanish as well as English, for those people that are interested in you singing at their weddings in Spanish. But can
the
you talk about the show?
Oh, my gosh. Music ties people up so tightly. You know, you make these instant connections. The original call for Caesar and Reuben, Ed Begley wrote a list of songs and the artists that he wanted to incorporate in his play, because he wrote the original play. The list was Joni Mitchell, Sting, Tracy Chapman, and it was like a shopping list of all my favorite songs. I literally went to my record collection, pulled out one of each of the artists that he had mentioned, and went to that audition with such fervor that I don't care what character is singing what, I'm in your show. And so my audition went so well because I knew every single song in his list except for one Spanish rap artist. I don't sing every song in the show. But his wife, who was part of the, she was a co-producer of the show, she told me, she goes, that she was actually pissed off. She goes, how can anybody give that good of an audition? Because she thought I had prepared all that just for the audition. And no, it was a lifetime of being connected to the exact same music. And then later when I met Ed Begley, he told me that that song list that he put together was popular music that he adored, but it was popular music that he shared in common with Cesar Chavez. I didn't realize he was that close to Cesar Chavez. He was actually one of Cesar's pallbearers when he passed. And it was such a moving experience, and the way that people connect through music, you don't know why you connect to certain artists, but then when you meet them and you realize, oh no, there is a spiritual meaning there, the lyrics are connecting. They're connecting us. What a great experience it really was. My biggest brag from that experience to me was the front row on one performance. The light caught a particular face in the audience. And when it registered in my head, who was watching me with tears streaming down her face? Michelle Pfeiffer. And I'm like, it almost took me out of my show because she's so startlingly beautiful. She comes afterwards and tells me, oh, I love this so much, and I'm going to come again. Now, you hear that, and you think to yourself, oh, how sweet. What a great sentiment. But in the end, she ended up,
she did come again.
She came the very next afternoon with her daughter to the matinee. Mm. And so that's just one of my favorite memories of Caesar and Reuben.
Well, I was a huge fan of the show, and your character, what a strong, powerful character that was for you to
play.
And
you brought your parents, which was very touching, too.
Oh, absolutely, and I love the mix of the Spanish and the English and the music, too, because hearing songs that I grew up with sung in Spanish, really, it was just so beautiful.
And the cruise ship that we did, I sang in 7 languages. The all-purpose made me sing. I sang 3 songs in Hebrew. Is it called Hebrew?
Yes.
Okay. And I sang in French, and I sang in German. That's right, because I did a Marlene Dietrich number. But yeah, music is international. The sound can compel. We have that mutual friends, the Russian duet team. Who are they? Do you remember their name? Asha and Lee?
Sasha Borofsky and his wife. Yeah, they're lovely. we've had been called upon on various occasions to sing in different languages. Certainly, Danielle sings a lot in Spanish. I sing in Spanish too, oddly enough. Whitest man in America is fluent in Spanish. But we've sung, I've certainly sung in Italian and in French, all different languages, which comes in handy. Because
and you've done crooning too, and like barbershop quartet stuff. And
oh, yeah.
Haven't you?
Close harmony, jazz shows.
That's when incredible. We were in Europe. I have to ask.
Yep. Yes.
Well, you're going to say when you were in Europe?
When we were in Europe, we would stop at certain arenas, certain classical arenas. Athens and the Parthenon, I would always have Chris sing. Bella si come un angelo. It's an opportune. As a matter of fact, I would love for him to do it right now. Can you sing a little Bella si come un angelo? Do it. You want to hear Nicole?
Of course.
Go.
It's an opera from, an aria from the opera Don Pasquale.
Let's go out on a tune.
Bella si come un angelo, in terra pellegrino, fresca si come il giglio, che sa presuma vino. Which translates to, beautiful as an angel who has come down to earth as a pilgrim, fresh as a light breeze that caresses your cheek. A guy bragging about a woman.
Beautiful. what a gorgeous translation. Now, you know, in our last couple of minutes, I have to ask you, Chris, you were the Dashville Tour, you played Marius in Les Mis.
Yes.
And talk about sound and music penetrating barriers. Look what Les Mis has done for the film industry. Look what this blockbuster movie has compelled, and this show. What was it like to play such a beloved character like Marius, and what were the audience response to you playing this character in Les Mis?
Oh, it was wonderful. I have to say, Les Miserables is still probably the favorite of all the shows that I've done. I've done a lot of shows during my career. But that one sticks with, again, because it's such an emotional show. And I joined the first national tour shortly after the massacre that happened in China, Tiananmen Square, where a whole bunch of people behind barricades standing up for liberty got slaughtered. So it was sort of a case of life imitating art in our show. But I did that show for just over 2 years and just loved it because it's such a passionate show, such a passionate role playing Marius. He gets to go through so much. He's kind of this slightly dopey, sincere guy at the beginning who falls in love with a girl and can't concentrate on, you know, the important political matters at hand because he's so swept away, and he loses her, he gets her back, he's shot and almost dies, and he's one of only two people left alive at the end of the show. So it was a wonderful show to do, and we did it all over the country, and responses from the audience were always very moving. It's a show.
And I would imagine if that was just right after China too, you know,
that was really kind of
of America were so open, and I imagine it's so raw and so fresh, and then to see people stand for justice and then to be hurt and shot down for, you know, standing up for what they believe in, I'm sure that the audience was with you on so much of that music.
Oh, absolutely. It was, as I said, it was a little eerie for a period of time there. We were in Chicago and then in Detroit doing the show, and I think it was all over the headlines, and I really feel that people came in thinking about that, and it made an already emotionally charged evening even more so. But it's just a wonderful show to do, and certainly a wonderful show to see. I remember the first time I saw the show in Sydney, Australia, I was completely knocked off my feet. I'd never read the book. I somehow managed to get through high school and college without ever cracking the book. And I saw the show and was just completely overwhelmed by it, and never imagined at the time that less than a year later I'd be doing it myself. So it was a wonderful adventure, and it's still a show that's very near and dear to my heart.
From our wedding.
And I'm just going to, I was just going to ask you that was a time when you met. So I would imagine this also brings you back to the beginning of your relationship.
Absolutely. When I had long hair.
We still have the road jacket that caught my eye.
That's so funny. Now, do you have a favorite wedding song?
I was going to say that from our wedding, Natalie Toro and Eric Kunze, both Broadway performers, sang from Children of Eden for our song. What was the name of the song?
It's called In Whatever Time We Have.
In Whatever Time We Have. Nicole, can we ask you a question?
For
your wedding, have you a wedding song idea?
I have. I already know the wedding song that I want, and it's called I Do, and it's from the musical The Last 5 Years.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, thank goodness.
And so,
got you covered.
Yeah, Jason Robert Brown.
Yes.
Good, you didn't stop the wedding singer.
Of course, when I find the man, we would hope that would be the song that he would want, too.
If not, we'll smash it.
Yes, that is the song I've already
chosen. His favorite song, Poison.
So, but I absolutely love that, and I, wish you both just, many, many years of happy marital bliss, and then, of course, I want people to find you, so I ask if you would please repeat a way for people, to reach you.
You can contact me at BarbosaCarruthers@netzero.net, and Christopher?
That sort of sums us up, and you can reach me through email, mail at christophercarruthers.com. And again, Christopher is spelled the usual way with a PH, and Carruthers is CARROTHERS.
And then in our very last few minutes, any advice on marital success? What makes a happy and a healthy marriage for people that are just getting married? What wedding advice would you give to our young brides?
What wedding advice, darling, do we have for young brides or people getting married today? She's thinking.
Happy bride, happy life, happy wife.
Happy bride, happy life, happy wife, Danielle says. I, at the risk of sounding cliche, I think it's marriage is always served best by communication and by... how do I put this? It's funny because when it works, it kind of takes care of itself. But just I think the most important thing is try as much as possible not to take the other person for granted. Always remember how special you felt about them when you first met them, when you first fell in love, and that'll help keep that feeling alive for as long as you're married. My parents were married for 48 years, and they were always... as in love as when they were first courting. And we certainly hope to follow their example.
I feel the same way. My parents in May will be married 50 years. And, my father teases it's the longest that he's ever dated a girl.
That's great. Well, please give them our congratulations.
I will. And my father proposed to my mother on the very first date.
Wow.
And he said that he knew. He just absolutely knew that that was the love of his life.
Did your mother take him seriously when he proposed?
Oh, she did completely, and she was still living with her parents at the time. And when she came home, her father knocked on the bedroom door and said, "How was your date?" And she said, "I'm getting married." And my grandfather said to her, "You're having a bad dream. Go back to bed." And he shut the door. But my mom knew, and the next day my father came and asked for my mother's hand in marriage, and their parents made them wait a year before they could get married, but my dad knew immediately, and they still, have such a blissful, incredible marriage, as I know, your parents had, and as I watch you with each other, I know how much you love each other and support each other, and so we would certainly hope that for all of our brides, and we certainly want to wish them harmony.
Absolutely.
In their relationship. And to have that harmony at their wedding and that music in their lives. And you know, we were talking about earlier that a relationship is very much like the melody of a song, right? There are all these high notes and all these low notes, and it's how you play them together that really resonate into this magical woven piece of music. And so I know that you live it, and I thank you both so much for joining me today, and I'm so excited for our guests to find you. So Danielle Barbosa, Christopher Carruthers, you know, reach out to them, and you will, you know, not be disappointed. They are the very premier of singers and certainly the premier of music to your heart. So I wish you all, you know, that musical journey at your weddings. And thank you, Danielle. Thank you, Christopher, so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you take care.
I look forward to seeing
you. Yeah, to tell all your listeners or all you listening out there that, yeah, music is a wonderful part of your wedding ceremony and all the events around it, and will carry through for your in your memories of that day for your whole marriage, and it's a lovely thing. Hold on.
Yeah.
Nobody had me sing. Are you ready?
Yes.
Music,
oh, Danielle, absolutely. Sing us out.
Here we go. Music makes pictures and often tells stories. All of it magic, all of it true. All of the pictures and all of the stories. All of the magic, the music is you.
There you
fantastic.
Go.
Fantastic. Well, the magic is both of you, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Bye.
Thank you. You too. Thank you both.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And so I thank you for joining with us today on our Hourglass Brides, where we'll talk about the greatest nutrition, health, how to fit into your wedding dress. Do you know that statistically most brides buy a wedding dress 10 months to a year out, hoping to get into it? If you are looking for those right techniques, those right tools to fit into the dress, if you're looking for, we actually have a very special guest that we're bringing forward, Sherry Geffen, who is the image maker to the stars. And Sherry will be talking about fashion forward. If you're getting married in 2014 or 16, what are the styles? What are the trends? What's the latest makeup? What's the latest hair? We talk about wedding photography. We talk about centerpieces, having a green wedding, anything that you could think of that relates to your wedding or to your dream life. We have guests lined up for you. So we're very excited for you to be joining us every week here on Hourglass Brides and at our sister Dream Body Dream Day, and of course our fitness company, BrideBodies.com. So we so look forward to you continuing on as our guests. And if you have any questions, please feel free to email them to me at Nicole@NicoleBrandonWorldwide.com. Again, that's Nicole@NicoleBrandonWorldwide.com. If there's a particular subject that you would like to hear about or something that you're really interested in across the globe that has to do with starting your life, continuing your life, relationships, health, well, spirituality, and really communicating, and especially having that happily ever after. We really look forward to sharing with you so you have that dream life you have always wanted and that you so deserve, so that happily ever after, that fairy tale wedding becomes your fairy tale life. So thank you so much for joining us. We wish you a wonderful week. This is Nicole Brandon for Hourglass Brides, wishing you a wonderful day. And all the best that your dreams come true.